அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் ரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வ பரகாத்துஹு. அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹி வ கஃபா வஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாமு அலா சையிதினில் முஸ்தஃபா ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வ அலா ஆலிஹி வ அஸ்ஹாபிஹி வ பாரக வ ஸல்லம தஸ்லீமா கஸீரா கஸீரா. அம்மா பஅது ஃபஅஊது பில்லாஹி மினஷ் ஷைத்தானிர் ரஜீம். بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حاميم والكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. أَمْرًا مِنْ عِنْدِنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ. صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. علماءِ کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, we all know that it is the night of Barat and so much of literature has been distributed on this, on the virtues of this blessed and Mubarak night. So as I always mention, that it is more or less a revision of our lesson. In the schools, when we have examinations, then just prior to the examinations, they have some revision of lessons. So that's what we are really doing, revision of our lessons. This night of Barat, the word Barat itself indicates that it's a night in which people get salvation, najat, they get absolved. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wipes away their sins, forgives their mistakes and over evil deeds. It is a night for seeking forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven immediately after Maghrib and right up till sunrise. Normally every night, the last part of the night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, is there anyone seeking forgiveness, I may give him forgiveness. Is there anyone seeking sustenance, I may give him sustenance. Is there anyone seeking health, that I may give him health. Is there anyone seeking this or that, so that I may give it to him. But in this particular night, it is right from Maghrib time. Now although some of us sirin have said that this ayat, I'm not going into tafsir, it will take a long time, but just to give you the gist, that in this ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this Quran Sharif, I'm just giving you the meaning explanation, that we reveal this Quran Sharif, fi laylatin mubaraka, in a blessed night. So there is an agreement that the Quran Sharif was revealed in Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So we know that the Quran Sharif was revealed in the month of Ramadan. And in Surah Al-Qadr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. So the Quran Sharif was revealed in the night of Qadr, and the night of Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. So this Laylaya Mubarakah, this night of which is Mubarak, there is a consensus that Quran Sharif was revealed in the night of Qadr. But because Allah Ta'ala says in this ayat, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, the meaning of which is that all important and major decisions that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to make for this year, it is decided in this night. The angels are given a list of whatever has to be undertaken. So in the light of that, that all major decisions, so what decision could be more major then the decision of the revelation of the Holy Quran Sharif. So the explanation is that this is the night in which the decision was made for the revelation of the Quran Sharif upon Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Lawh-e Mahfuz, from the preserved tablet, or from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to the preserved tablet. The revelation, it was, the decision was made that it was going to be in this night of Qadr. So the decision was made in the night of Barat that is going to be revealed in the night of Qadr. Like how in Parliament we have many things that have been passed, but it only comes into law after some time. There are many laws that are passed, but They only promulgated after some time. So like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that decision. Now without going into the details of that ayat. Now these major decisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes in this night has been recorded in the hadiths of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why you have gathered here. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, he gave us the virtue of this Mubarak night. And he himself, he exerted himself in this Mubarak night. There are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many sayings of his, and you have heard them many, many times. But one or two of them, just the meaning, if you have to take the hadiths and put them together, then we learn that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam in this Mubarak night, he informed the people that this is the night in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the amal of the people, the deeds of the people, they are raised towards him. Now Allah ta'ala is watching every action of every person. But this is the duty of the angels that in this night they must close up those books and bring it to him. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will now decide for that person in the light of what he did for this year that went past. Now Allah ta'ala will decide that what should be for him in the coming year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept the most amount of fast in the month of Shaban. And one of the reasons that he gave was this very reason, that because the books of deeds are closed and presented before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this month, therefore he says, I would like that my book of deeds be closed with a fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to always keep the fast of 13, 14, 15th. But still he says that I would like that my book of deeds close with a fast. Teaching us a lesson that even if we committed a lot of sins in the year that went past, but make sincere tawbah, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and when the decisions are made for the coming year, so ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make decisions of khair and goodness for us. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to make the decision. So if we are going to beg Him, we are going to plead before Him, we are going to ask Him, we are going to seek forgiveness from Him, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give it. He will change our condition. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion he came. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that he was taking off his clothes to lie down. But just before that, suddenly again he put his clothes on and he went away. But something that I repeat every year, that from this hadith we find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us a lesson. Because as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up quietly from the bed and he was going, now she didn't know where he was going to. But he says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, qaman nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wasallam ruwaidan, wa fataha al-baba ruwaidan, wa aghlaqa al-baba ruwaidan. Everything Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did was very, very gently, very softly, very quietly. He didn't want to disturb the sleep of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was his most beloved wife. Very gently he did. Now that is where I say we have to take a lesson, that no matter how much of bayans and waz and nasihats we listen to, but if we have to look at our actions, they bring shame upon the whole Muslim community. If there is any function in our home, then look at the din that we make at night, the noise that we make, and especially if we've got a qawwali session, then we are unconcerned of what the disturbance it is causing to the neighborhood. And then sometimes we also join and participate in the burning of crackers, firecrackers, and loud sounds and noises. Then what difference is there between them and us? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us consideration, and this is the most important lesson which we have taken out of our dictionaries today. Consideration for the rights of others. Whether it is in our parking, or whether in our masajids, whether in our homes, whether in our families, everywhere there's selfishness. The person will go and park his car right at the entrance, knowing that he will be blocking the rest of them from coming out. But he will come out last, but he will park his car right there, where he should be coming out first. And we won't even think of it. And sometimes the person is engaged in zikr, dua, tilawat, ibadat, dini work and activity, but is unconcerned that what kind of obstruction he is causing. accidentally the person forgets, that we can understand. Sometimes it can happen. A person is very, very considerate, but on some occasion it's just that he slipped up. That is understandable. But purposely when the person does that, then it shows a sign of weakness of his iman. Consideration for the rights of others was an important teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned this, I think, last year also, that we get many, many letters to the editor in which they talk about the loud azan. Well, indeed, Sharia doesn't say that we must put the mic full blast or the speakers full blast. Where does it say? If that's the case, why don't we have a wazan over the amplifier? Why don't we amplify our azan, Fajr time? All our masajid here in Durban, or 90% of them, Fajr time, do we have it over the mic system? If we don't have it, what is that proving? It's proving that it's not farz, it's not wajib, it's not sunnat. To give azan, yes, if there is an objection that we don't want azan, then we all will fight, we'll make jihad. But when there are 10, 15 masajid in our area and locality, and each one is trying to compete with the other, and especially at Maghrib time when all azans go off together, and Isha time also, majority of the masajid, it's exactly the same time. It becomes a mockery of those azans also, all clashing with each other. One is Hayya ala Salah, another one is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, another one is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Now is that azan? Now if you want azan for your area, then have that volume low, let the people listen. And how many people really come after that azan to the masjid? After having those 10 masajid, full blast, how many people come? So we are the cause of the problem, and then we will say it is our right. Yes, if they stop our azan, it's our right to fight. But not when we are putting it full blast. No matter what people may say, but that is the haq, that is the truth, that it is not farz, it is not wajib. Now imagine the person whose house is right next door to that masjid, and he's got sick parents there, he's got sick children there, or he's got heart problem, and he has just come from the hospital after a bypass. And then see when it goes full blast with that sudden jerk, and some of the azans are given also in such a manner that there's nothing but screaming in there. There's no sweetness at all. So then what kind of effect and impact will that have on the others when it can't have impact on our hearts? So consideration for the rights of others, and this is what we have to learn in these nights. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the consideration he's showing. And then there's a long story after that. He went to the Qabristan and he was praying there, and then he came back home. And as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she was panting, breathing heavily, that what happened. And then he informed her what was the virtue of this night. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, do you think that your Nabi of Allah will do injustice to his wife, that in the night that he's supposed to spend with you, he's going to go somewhere else? But it was because of this night. And there again we take a lesson that in these days everybody is very, very desirous of marrying 2, 3, and 4 wives. One person, they asked him, what is your heart's desire? He said, to marry and divorce, marry and divorce, marry and divorce. To get as many wives as possible. Now, is that a good heart's desire? So there's nothing wrong. We are not saying that it is condemned. Sharia allows. Why? Because there can be some genuine, valid reasons where a person requires another wife as a companion. Sharia doesn't say that if your first wife met up with an accident, or she is paralyzed, or she is suffering from some serious sickness and disease, and she cannot fulfill the role of a housewife, so then either you go and commit zina, or you give her divorce. Sharia doesn't say that. There can be some genuine, valid reasons where the person needs another wife. At that time we'll say, take care of that wife who's paralyzed. Go out of your way to treat her nicely. And at the same time you are allowed, go and marry another one too. And even if there's no such sickness that the wife is suffering. But when we cannot do justice, then Sharia doesn't allow that. We must not be unjust, otherwise on the day of Qiyamah, the person will have half his body paralyzed. And everybody will see that this is the person that was unjust to his wife. That's why he got up like this on the day of Qiyamah. So if the person can do justice, that is a different thing. So if there is a valid reason, Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah asked, he said, Hazrat, if I have 2 wives, then how many homes must I have? So he replied, you must have 3 houses, 3. He said, I'm talking about two wives and you're saying three houses. Say, when you fight with the two, then at least you can find the third place to go and rest a little bit there. At least you'll have a third house to go and have a bit of rest when the two will fight. Otherwise they will make you bald. This is a person who had two wives. One was very young and one was elderly. So the elderly one said that you must take all the black hair out from your head. Because people look at my hair, they say white, and they look at your hair and they say black. So you take the black hair out. And the other one said that take all the white hair out. Because when they look at me young and they look at your hair, so that's why you take all the... So what will be left then? There will be nothing left there. So nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us consideration. So in this Mubarak night, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha for permission, and then he went on to sajda. He's making his namaz. Now asking Hazrat Aisha for permission. Now what permission did he really require to make ibadat the whole night? But here the Nabi of Allah is again teaching us the rights. That there are rights of everyone. There are times when you leave everything and go away into jihad. One sahabi just got married, Hazrat Anzala radiallahu ta'ala. And immediately after that, when he heard the call for jihad, he was gone into jihad. And he became shaheed there, and became ghaseelul malaika. The angels were giving him ghusl, because there was a need for him to have ghusl. Now if there is a call of that nature, then we will say that at that time the person mustn't look back. No home, no wife, no children. There is a call, then the person goes. But at other times, he has to balance the rights. That same Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who gave that order at that time that all must come out and go. On the other occasion, when his own daughter Hazrat Ruqayya was sick, she was very ill. At that time he told Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala in the battle of Badr now, where they required almost everybody to be there. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, read the books of history, read the ahadith. He left behind his son-in-law Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. No, he said, look after your wife. She's very sick. He went into jihad and he left his son-in-law at home to look after his wife. And in fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got the message whilst he was in Badr that his daughter, when he was just finished with Badr, that his daughter Ruqayya passed away. And he comes and he gets the janazah of Ruqayya. But he's teaching us lessons. In Sirat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we'll find lessons. There's a balance. There's no extremism in Sharia. So this consideration for the rights of others, we can speak the whole night. And that's a very important lesson that we have to learn about this night of Barat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah ta'ala forgives even more people than the number of hair on the goats of the Bani Kalb tribe. Now the Bani Kalb tribe was reputed to have the largest number of goats, sheep, cattle. So he said, more than the hair on the animals of the Bani Kalb tribe, Allah ta'ala forgives in this Mubarak night. So there's no such thing as despairing of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. If he did not want to forgive, then why did he give us these nights? Why did he give up the Mubarak days? Why did he tell in the Quran Sharif that make dua, seek from me. Say, وَقُرْ رَبِّ اخْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ. Say, رَبِّ اخْفِرْ وَرْحَمْ. O my Rabb, O my Rabb, O my Sustainer, forgive me and have mercy upon me. Now if the father does not want to give the son money or car or anything else, then will he tell the son, ask? Then he's not going to tell him, ask. If the father tells the son, ask what you want, what does it mean? That he wants to give. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at his mercy, look at his love for his creation. Allah doesn't enjoy sending anybody to the fire of Jahannam and burning him there. What enjoyment and pleasure will Allah ta'ala get in there? If that was the case, then he wouldn't have revealed the Quran Sharif upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He wouldn't have sent 124,000 Nabis to this world. We wouldn't have had all the opportunities to learn about deen and to make tawbah and istighfar and turn towards him. We wouldn't have had these big nights and big days. We wouldn't have had Laylatul Qadr and the month of Ramadan and all the other Mubarak days and nights if Allah Ta'ala did not want to forgive. So it shows that he wants to forgive, but then there must be somebody to seek it also. Now imagine he is extending his invitation to the whole of mankind, that seek, ask, beg. Oh, you believers in me, seek from me. What do you want? Is there anybody wanting forgiveness? I'll forgive him. Anybody wanting sustenance? I will give him sustenance. The person that is wanting health, I will give him health. after the dua has been accepted, then Allah Ta'ala will give us what is best for us. Sometimes He will give us exactly what we have asked. Sometimes He will give us something better. Sometimes He will remove some difficulty, some calamity, some disaster that was going to strike. But with the du'as that we made in this night, oh Allah, bless me with sahat and afiyat, bless me with good health. But the person remained sick, he didn't get good health. But in the meantime, Allah Ta'ala removed some big disaster and calamity that he was going to face. We don't know. But he is never at a loss, because Allah Ta'ala himself is saying, seek and I will give it to you. But of course, the earnings have to be halal also. We cannot have inside our system all kind of haram and then expect the du'as to be accepted. The petrol has to be clean. We cannot expect to put water inside the engine or cooking oil and then expect the engine to run. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this night, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that on the 15th night of Shaban, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in sajda on one occasion, and so long he made the sajda, such a long sajda, that she thought that now he passed away. What love Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. What enjoyment he must have been getting in that sajda. If our Imam has to read 5 times Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la in the sajda, then we will say, is there any other masjid around here where we can get an Imam who reads 2 times? Tu ja main aata hoon namaz we like. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making a lengthy sajda. Hazrat Aisha says, I thought he passed away, so I went and shook his toe. So I found that he's still alive. Afterwards he informed her. And what was he reading in the sajda? A'udhu bi afwika min iqabik. Wa'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik. Wa'udhu bika minka. Jalla wajhuk. La uhsi sana'an alayk. Anta kama asnayta ala nafsi. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. In your forgiveness. A'udhu bi afwika min iqabik. From your punishment. And I seek refuge in your pleasure from your anger. And I seek refuge in you. From you, that means from your azab. La usi sana'an alayk. I cannot do justice to your praises, to glorifying you. I just cannot do justice to that. I cannot encompass everything. It's impossible to do justice to the praises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You are as you have praised yourself. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us that this night is a night of dua. And then if you look at the other hadiths where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah Ta'ala forgives everyone except the person who disbelieves in him, who associates partners in him. The person truly believes that Allah Ta'ala's qudrat and power has been given to some man or some human being, and he worships that human being. One is worshipping, and the other is listening to somebody who is a pious person, righteous person, as long as he is guiding according to the Quran and Sunnah, so you love him and listen to him, that is a different thing. But here the person is claiming to be leading, but in the meantime he is making you worship him, kissing his feet, making sajda to him, or seeking from him that, oh Allah, or instead of saying, oh Allah, the person asks from those other than Allah, children, wealth, other kinds of things. One is human beings, the person asks for assistance from the human being, but he doesn't consider that human being as Allah Ta'ala. And I'm talking about where the person truly believes that Allah Ta'ala's this power has been given to somebody else. So if a person associates partners with Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala does not forgive him even in this Mubarak night. That is something Allah Ta'ala detests. We must worship none but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must seek from none but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must make sajda to no one but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must bow down before no one but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that is what Allah Ta'ala wants. So those people he doesn't forgive. With regards to those people who hold malice and jealousy in their hearts, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala leaves them aside. Until they seek forgiveness, until they take off that malice and that hatred that is in their heart for their Muslim brothers and sisters. When they take that out, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives them. Otherwise, in this Mubarak night, no matter how much the person may be making ibadat and zikr and tilawat, but if his heart is filled with malice, with greed, with envy and jealousy, then Allah, and with malice, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not forgive that person in this Mubarak night. Many hadiths this has been mentioned. Now this is another thing that we have to do in this night. Many, many times I have said that in our times now it has become so easy. Our cell phones and our telephones, our landlines and mobile phones and everything else, and our computers have made things so easy. How easy communication has become. So with how many people in the world have we got malice, and have we got enmity, and have we got hatred? If we have to count them on the fingers, we can do so. Unless the person was a real rotter, that he fights with everyone. There are some people that fight with everyone. Now we're not talking about those exceptions. But generally a person will have some problem with some sister, with some brother, with some uncle, with some aunt, or with father or mother or some children. But you can count them on your fingertips how many people you really have problems with, or some client or some customer or some supplier. You can count them on your fingertips. There'll be 9, 10, 15, how many? Now how long does it take to make one phone call to that person and say, look, you owe me so much of money. Now I'm not waving that off. Don't take it for granted now that because I've made this phone call to you, so I waved off all the debts. You owe me the 100,000, you still owe that. But we are not in talking terms. Now that is not a good in this Mubarak night. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive such kind of people. So I'm asking you to forgive me. And don't think that you will suffer humiliation. Allah Ta'ala increases the respect of the person that seeks forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes qasam on this. He had no need to take qasam. But say the person who has injustice has been done to him, but he seeks forgiveness. Then Allah Ta'ala comes to his assistance. And Allah Ta'ala will never bring disgrace upon him. Allah Ta'ala will give him happiness. He will increase his status and position, his respect and honor. All that it takes is just to take up the courage and say, I'm sorry. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تقاطعوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. If we have to just discuss that, we can sit the whole night. So he does not want us to have jealousy in our hearts. Why should we be jealous of what Allah Ta'ala has given to others? Why? What is the reason for it? If the distribution of sustenance was in our hands, then we can say, well, okay, we are jealous. Is it in our hands? It is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now by us being jealous, will Allah Ta'ala stop that person's sustenance? So we are burning ourselves inside. That fire of jealousy is burning our own hearts. If the person is jealous because somebody else has got a prettier wife than him, so now what will happen? Will that person now divorce his wife for his sake? Now he's burning his heart for nothing. Or he sees somebody's property, somebody's car, somebody's fortune, and he burns himself inside. Seek from Allah Ta'ala, ya Allah bless me also and increase his sustenance. But if that person is using it in haram places and haram avenues, then what is there to be jealous also? Because that person is going to land himself in the fire of Jahannam, in the Akhirat. And in this world also he's going to suffer serious consequences of disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So why must you be jealous? And again that poetry of the Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, which many, many times I have mentioned on such occasions. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you burning yourself in the fire of jealousy? Why are you going speedily towards the fire of Jahannam? Are you unhappy with the distribution that Allah Ta'ala has made? Why are you rubbing your palms in regret that why I did not get these type of things? So now this is a subject on its own. Shaitan was made shaitan. One of the reasons was of jealousy. He was jealous of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Qabil and Habil. Qabil killed Habil. The first murder on earth was because of jealousy over a woman. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers put him into the well because of jealousy. The Yahud, they didn't accept Islam, they didn't accept Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as the last messenger because of jealousy. Read the Quranic verses. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and so many other big leaders of the Quraysh, who didn't accept Islam and were enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was because of jealousy. That way Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam suddenly got so much of popularity and so much of followers, and he's getting wahi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we were leaders of the Quraysh and we didn't get it. Jealousy. So in this night we must seek forgiveness from those people whom we have caused any kind of harm or hurt or pain or problem. And don't feel ashamed. Take the courage. One phone call is all that it requires. Sometimes after the friendship has broken, I have mentioned this many times, the person does not like to be in that same kind of friendship that he was before the argument and before the problem. So now Shariat and Islam doesn't force that, no, you must be the same kind of friends again. Now his heart is not inclined towards that kind of friendship because he was done down, he was stabbed in the back, he was betrayed, he was blackmailed, something had happened. So now all that is required is that he forgives that person. And then if he meets him, he makes salam, he does not backbite upon him about him, and he makes dua for him, inshallah that is sufficient. He does not have to now keep on traveling with him around the world as he used to travel before. How simple and easy Islamic teachings are. But people say normally that after forgiving, still that thought lingers in the mind. I can't seem to forgive. That is no problem at all, because that's not in your control. How much is in your control you do to forgive the person, to make dua for him, to make salam to him, to talk to him. But to take it out of the heart is not like a delete button that you press and everything is deleted. That may take time before it goes from the heart. But that is not a problem. So simple. Islam is practical. It is not difficult. So that is another thing. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have to look at the hadiths, that those people who keep their pants below their ankles. Now this we say, that simple little thing, trivial thing. So if it's trivial, then why don't you put your pants above the ankle? This, you know, that is only for those people who have pride. It's mentioned in the hadith, but it's not mentioned in the hadith that only if it is for pride. So many hadiths where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about the pants above, that flow below the ankle, that it will be part of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala will not look at the person with niggah of rahmat and mercy on the day of Qiyamah. Now this is not because of pride only. It's not only at the time of namaz that we fold it up. And what? How does it affect our business houses? How does it affect our profession? How does it affect anything else? Nothing. But it will please Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are not there to ask questions that why. It is in Bukhari Sharif, it's in Muslim Sharif. That is sufficient. If a judge quotes a certain statute, then that is sufficient. Now we are not there to go into all the details. And all those people who have it dangling and who assist the Itegweni municipality in sweeping the streets. So we must ask that, why are we doing that if it's not pride? But we have got no right to look down upon anybody that hasn't got a beard or is dangling his trousers, because we don't know what will be the end. When he will make tawbah, when he will change. We must look at all the weaknesses in ourselves. But at the same time, nicely we are going to inform whatever has come in the Hadith Sharif. It's not that we claim to be holier than thou just because we've got our pants above the ankles. That doesn't make a person very holy. But at the same time, we have to make an effort to bring these things into our lives, to make our du'as get accepted. Because this is open defiance. One is the person commits a sin secretly, and he makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar, he seeks forgiveness. And one is open defiance, that I don't care. Now the person who is openly defying Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he says, I don't care whether I have a beard or don't have, what does it matter? Then look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So my brothers, take the courage, keep it, make tawbah this night and say, Ya Allah, we made a mistake in our lives. And nowadays it's not difficult to. How many times I've mentioned people in parliament, people in banks, and people in cabinets, and people in so many other places. They are also keeping beards. So what is difficult for us? And one meeting I was, then two people came there. One was an attorney and another person was also from a professional person. So on that occasion, wherever they were coming from, but the person came with 3/4 pants, just below the knees. He came for the meeting. He said, what is this? He said, no, this is fashion of the time now. So now in fashion they wear it. So don't we like the fashion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? تیرے محبوب کی یا رب شباہت لے کے آیا ہوں, حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں. So on the قیامت day we can say, Ya Allah, I brought the outward, now give me the حقیقت. So this is another thing. Then those people who are indulging in witchcraft, jadu, sahar, Allah Ta'ala does not forgive them unless they make sincere tawbah, because it causes harm to the other person. And sometimes certain things are done in there which is nothing but shirk. Of course, we must also not believe all the amils to whom we go. We have a mild headache, they say jadu. If we have torn our ligament and we say there's pain in the knee, they say jadu. If we have overeaten and the lights were not bright enough and we're having a braai and it caused stomach ache because we add some coal also with it, with the meat. So now we go to the amil, stomach pain, terrible. So he says jadu. So that must not be also ours. We must do medical treatment also. And if nothing is working, must find out if a person is reputable. But these days, believe me, that it is nothing but one big racket. People are being fleeced out of their pockets. They are made to come repeatedly. And many a times it happens, I keep on telling you that tell your wives and daughters don't keep running to these amils. There are so many of them who even get involved with them in illicit relationships. And there are so many of them who are doing such things that it will shock you beyond belief, because they tell us what happened when they went to those amils. They won't tell the husband what happened there. Shameless, indecent, obscene. And yet we are quite happy that they went to this amil, that amil, that amil. How many of them are bogus? And many of them plant the jadu first, and then they make you come 10 times, and then they take it out. In the meantime, every trip you have paid so much. One person came to me and he said, Maulana, I was told that I've got 6 jinns. And each jinn will cost 2,000 rand to take out. So I said, boy, even if you had 1 jinn, he would have been making you dance now. You got 6 and you're not dancing, you're quite calm and everything is all right. Even 1 would have made you dance. So tell that person that first tie the 6 and show them to me. And then I will pay you. And give me terms also, 150 days. So that in case they come back, I can... So those people that are indulging in witchcraft, jadu, etc. Then so many other categories have been mentioned. But the most important thing that we have to learn about this night, I'm not going into details of all the rest of it, is where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about rights of parents. That parents, those people who ill-treat their parents, those who disobey their parents, if they don't ask their parents forgiveness in this night, Allah Ta'ala will also not forgive. Now again, I repeat that there are many, many parents who are the cause of the problem. They are the ones who have made the life of the child miserable. They have created hatred in the heart of the child for the parent. They have behaved in such a manner with the children that the children are beginning to hate them and dislike them. They would be happier that their parents are dead than alive. Now what kind of parents are those when the children begin to hate them? So then the parent has to take stock. The parent has to check, where have I gone wrong? The father has to check, where have I gone wrong? What have I done that my child is hating me? And you will find many, many reasons. I've got no time to go into all the details, but each one knows that when the child is hating, sometimes there is a percentage of children who want money to go and have drugs and go for women or go to the cinemas and discos and rave clubs. That is a different story. But I'm talking about those children who are reasonably good children. But they are not being given the proper upbringing. And in their presence, the parents are behaving in such a manner that the children are hating them. One little child of 9 years writes to me. He says, Maulana, every day I make dua. I wish my father and mother meet up with an accident and they die. And I too must be in that same car. And then she mentions why is she making this dua. So we have to see where are we going wrong. She says, my mother, they fight like cats and dogs. My mother swears my father swears my mother. Sometimes she's hitting him, sometimes he's hitting her. And I fear the day that just now one day he'll take the gun and pull the trigger. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Now if this child is not going to hate the parents, what is he going to do? But whatever it is for the child, it is the father, it is the mother. So seek forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Say, never mind, I'm your son, I'm your child. You are my parents. Allah Ta'ala make dua, Allah give them hidayat, if that is the case. But I'm talking about those children whose parents are doing everything possible for them. They are kind, they are generous, they are compassionate, they are loving. They go out of their way to provide all the necessities, and yet the children are just abusing them because they are high on drugs, they are booting them, kicking their mothers and fathers. So even if that is the situation, tonight don't lose hope, seek forgiveness. Ask them for forgiveness and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala will forgive. So many people, they were such high on drugs. They were so high. But yet they changed their lives. We have many, many of them even sitting here in this majlis. And ask them. Some of them have given me their names and said, Maulana, you can mention our names too if you, those people who ask you. Some have given me in writing their whole life story. And now when they came out of those drugs and out of all those other vices and evils, what kind of life they are enjoying. So there's nothing to lose hope. Shariat is full of hope. Have hope in Allah Ta'ala's mercy, His forgiveness. His mercy knows no bounds and limits in these Mubarak nights. Now there are so many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the rights of parents. So many ayat and the verses of the Quran Sharif. Only that can take hours and hours. So take the courage again. If it's parents, ask them for forgiveness. If the parents have been abusive and they have violated the rights of the child, then there's nothing wrong in making the child happy. And this is an ideal occasion. I say we must, even if we have to put our foreheads in sajda till Qiyamah day, we cannot do justice thanking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What opportunities He created for us. That sometimes it's very difficult to ask for forgiveness at some other time. But look at the opportunity Allah Ta'ala has created, that this is a Mubarak night. How easy it is to say that I just came from a bayan, and in that bayan I heard that we must seek forgiveness from the parents. Oh ma, oh my dear beloved mother or mummy, I made a mistake in my life. I disobeyed you. Forgive me. After all, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. What does it matter? And if you can meet them, then go meet them, embrace them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud, one of them was making dua on the plains of Arafat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making dua. And he said, any person who is here amongst us, who has broken off his contact with his family members, then he must go away from here. One person only from the 124,000 companions, only one got up who was not in talking term with his aunt. Can we just imagine? Because there was no question of lying there. Wahi and revelation would have come that there are another 100 people here not talking with their aunts and uncles and grandfathers. Only one gets up and he goes away. And after some time he comes back. And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, when he was asked, he said, no, I was not in talking terms with my aunt, but when you said that, so I went away, I asked her for forgiveness, she forgave me, I forgave her and I came back. He said, you did a wonderful thing. Because we are going to make dua and Allah Ta'ala does not accept the dua in which there are people who are not in talking terms with their family members. So if you are not in talking terms with the family members or friends or relatives or anybody else, then this is an ideal opportunity. Seek forgiveness. And I will now conclude in the last part of it. Although there are many, many other things, but one thing that is extremely important is that Allah Ta'ala in this night, He gives over the list to the angels of those that are going to die, those that are going to be born. How much of sustenance a person is going to receive, how much his business is going to prosper, or how much of loss it is going to suffer, how much of health the person is going to have, or how much of sickness he is going to go through, how much of wealth he is going to have, or how much of poverty he will have to face, how much of happiness he will have in his life, or how much of depression he will have to undergo. All these things are recorded and given to the angels in this night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, sometime a person, he is planting a tree, but his name is in the list of the dead. The person is undertaking a journey, but his name is in the list of the dead. The person is getting married, but his name is already in the list of the dead. And I mentioned, I think last year or some time back, that one young person, he telephoned and he said, Maulana, when you are coming up to my town for your program, then you must be my guest. Because we met up in Umrah and he was insisting. I said, well, I'll see if I get a chance, I will come, but I'm going somewhere else. But in any case, he was insistent. He said, no, take my number down, take my address and take all the particulars. So I took it down. 2 hours later, whilst I was just going to the airport flying to another place, I get a telephone call that that brother passed away. Just 2 hours later. Look at these 4 students. They're waiting, two of them are waiting for the graduation. They were going to get the turban on their head and the certificate in their hand. Now they became shaheed, just yesterday. It was a graduation day. They were coming from a dawat that was given by one of the family members in the happiness that they completed this 6-year course and they were qualified as alims and they were going to get the certificates. And Allah Ta'ala gave them the certificate of the year after. They became shaheed. It's a shahadat. Dying in an accident, wall collapse, falling on somebody, somebody drowning. All this is a form of shahadat. So they are fortunate. But look at the tragedy for the parents. They were expecting that my child, and who received the certificate and the turban and all the rest of it? The father of the son had to accept it, who is an ustad of that Darul Uloom. Now who had expected this? On Bakri'id day, Eidul Adha, a student was returning from one of the institutions and it was his last year and he passed away. 3 college students were returning, were coming down for the graduation a few years ago. Accident and they passed away. So these days we are just hearing of nothing but sudden death, sudden death, sudden death. So how much prepared we must be, and since we have a larger audience here, very big crowd here, I mentioned this in the bayan just a few days ago in my Monday night program, but I repeat that so many of us have got skeletons in our cupboards and we are quite happy and satisfied that death, when it will come, if I die, my wife will clean out everything. And the wife feels if I go, the husband will sort out everything. And the children feel the parents will sort out everything. But sometimes the whole family goes. And then strangers will walk into that house. They will open those cupboards. And then when they are going to find those filthy films in there, and they will see that this was kept by that very person who was 5 times in the masjid, or was in dini activities, or was going to the khanqas, or who was known as pious and righteous, then what kind of embarrassment, shame. How many of us have got many, many things recorded in our diaries? We've got it recorded and kept in our computers, chips, and we've got it in our letters, files, and we've got it in our cell phones. So much of things that we wouldn't like anybody else to have access to. But we are unconcerned that death can come suddenly and the whole world will have access to the whole thing. So we must be clean. As I said, even our body must be clean, because these days we just don't know, the person is just traveling and what can happen. Hijacking, murders, killings are so common. Earthquakes, flood waters, how many thousands of people lost their lives in the past year. So how much ready we must be. That is why I say we must not be like the ever-ready batteries. They say they're ever-ready, but when we need them, they're flat. We must be ever-ready in the true sense of the word. That if death comes, then we are ready. We say, oh angel of death, I was waiting for you. For how else can I meet my Allah without crossing the bridge of death? Ye saraye dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan hi. Ye saraye dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan hi. جو مقیم اس میں تھے کل کے دن کہیں آج ان کا نشان نہیں. This is like a timeshare apartment, this world. Whilst you are using the timeshare apartment, you will make use of the fridge, the refrigerator, the air conditioner, the lounge suite, the bedroom and everything. You will make use of it. But you don't give your heart to it. Because after 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, you will have to vacate. Our grandfathers, great-grandfathers all left, they're gone. We will also go one day. So it is just like that. Those who are in this world, there's no sign of them anymore. Yeh ek qabr pe bekasi, ba zuban haal hai keh rahi. Yeh ek qabr pe bekasi, ba zuban haal hai keh rahi. تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافلو مجھے احتیاج بیان نہیں. Go to the قبرستان and look at the graves there. Silent, completely silent. But in their silence there is a lengthy speech they are giving. different types of people are buried there in the Qabristan. People who had degrees, qualifications, muftis, qaris, alims, doctors, teachers, lawyers, cricketers, soccerites, and all kinds of people are there. Look at the speech that they are giving, that we wasted our lives. You are also going to come one day here. So he says, I don't have to give you a speech, you just need eyes to see me and understand. So death is going to come whether we like it or not. So the preparation for that death has to be done in this world, not in the hereafter. And the preparation is simple, that we have to obey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is all that is required. Simple. We don't have to really take our lives or anything like that. We don't have to go away to the jungles or stand on one leg on the seashore and read 100,000 times some tasbih. The same eyes, same ears, same hands, same feet, same wealth, same strength, same children, same home. We just use it correctly according to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructions, and you will get peace and happiness and contentment in this world too, in the qabr and in the akhir. Make amar bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. It is the duty of every Muslim to invite towards good and prevent from evil. In our homes, to our children, over whomever we've got some authority, and to whatever extent we can. That's all simple. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Now we can go on discussing these issues. But the main thing is to make sincere tawbah and seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgiveness. And make up our minds that we want to change. We want to change. How long are we going to remain in this state of ours? Make up our minds that this Ramadan is coming. We want to change. We want to become Allah walas. We want to become the beloved of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't want to die in a state that Allah is displeased with us. And wallah, I'm telling you, my young friends, listen carefully what I'm telling you. That when you take the first steps towards Allah Ta'ala, He really and dearly loves you. Because you've got youth, you've got energy in your bodies, you've got health, you've got strength, sometimes you've got wealth also, you've got everything. At that time when you turn towards Allah Ta'ala, He dearly loves that young person. And He makes life so easy for that person. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you will be surprised that such kind of people are taken so quickly onto the right path. If they make up their minds and they take the first few steps. I have mentioned many, many times that the first few steps are required. That is all. After that, Allah Ta'ala will take the person along. So this is the night in which we are making that niyat that we want to take the first step towards Allah Ta'ala. Put our past behind us. If it's the rights of people, then fulfill those rights and obligations. Seek forgiveness from those people. Return whatever is due to whomsoever it is due. Don't be like that cat that ate up 100 rats and then went away to Arafat and went cried there. Somebody told the cat that you ate up so many rats, so the best thing to do, go Arafat. Make Hajj. Hajj time, everything gets forgiven. So some people, they will devour the properties of the orphans, the widows. They will give PDCs and they will disappear. And they will go and sit down in Arafat and cry there and come back and think everything forgiven. So return to whomsoever, whatever is due, and then seek from Allah Ta'ala and see what He gives. I also seek forgiveness from each and every one of you, because in our dealing with people, sometimes some action of ours, some speech of ours, some statement of ours causes some kind of hurt, injury, pain to somebody or the other. Sometimes inadvertently, we don't mean it, it was not intended. So if it's anything of that nature, then I sincerely, sincerely, deep-heartedly ask you for forgiveness. And wallah, I mean that. And if sometimes by chance it happens that something was purchased and you forget to pay, so then if something is owing to anybody, then you must also claim that. Mustn't say that, no, how can we ask? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he stood up and he said, is there anybody, if I have caused any harm, they must take revenge now. No. What harm could he have caused? So make dua sincerely and see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then change our condition, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. O my beloved Allah, O my Rahim Allah, O my Kareem Allah, O my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring Allah, O my most tolerant Allah, O my most merciful Allah, my most generous and kind Allah, O my most beautiful Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak night, we are extending our begging bowls before you. You have attached these begging bowls to our bodies so that we may beg of you any part of the night or day. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak night, in this blessed night, we are extending this begging bowl before you. You yourself proclaim, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there anyone seeking health that I may give him health? Is there anyone seeking this or that I may bless him with it? Ya Allah, when you are proclaiming yourself, we are extending our hands and seeking from you forgiveness of our sins. We are seeking sustenance which is halal and pure. In abundance, O my Allah, from sources unknown to us, with barakat and with blessing, my Allah. O Allah, we are seeking from you good health. Whosoever is sick and ailing, bless them with good health. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Ya Allah, we are not bragging about our sins. You are well aware of every sin that we have committed under the sun. Ya Allah, every sin that we have committed on the surface of the earth, you are well aware of. Ya Allah, there is nothing that was hidden from your sight. You could have paralyzed us there and then. You could have made us blind there and then. You could have destroyed us there and then. But how merciful you are. How forgiving you are. How loving you are. How caring you are. Oh my Allah, that you did not destroy us when we were committing sins. We use all your bounties, your gifts, your ni'mats for your disobedience. Day and night we use the bounty of sight for your disobedience. Oh Allah, if we did not have sight, how difficult life would have come. Ya Allah, life would have been so difficult, we would not have been able to drive on the streets. We wouldn't have been able to see the faces of our wives and our children. We wouldn't have been able to travel around. Oh my Allah, we wouldn't have been able to see the business stocks. We wouldn't have been able to do anything. How kind you are. How generous you are. How forgiving you are. You have blessed us with sight. Ya Allah, but we use the sight day and night for your disobedience. We use our hearing for your disobedience. We use our speech for your disobedience. Our hands and feet for your disobedience. When you give us strength in our bodies, then we commit adultery and fornication. Ya Allah, how ungrateful servants of yours we are. But we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not happy in, oh my Allah, over the sins that we have committed. Ya Allah, we are not bragging. We are not advertising our sins. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. You yourself want to forgive in this Mubarak night. And we want to change our lives and our direction of lives. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, the sins of our ears, the sins of our tongues, the sins of our hands and feet, the sins of our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of forgiveness and mercy from us because of our sins, then you tell us where else can we go? Which other door is there that we can tap? Which other home is there in which we can beg? Mere Allah, agar tune nigahe rahmat pher li, to tu bata ke phir hum gande jaye kaha. Where do we sinful ones go, my Allah? There is no one for us besides you. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. There is no support for us besides your support. There is no one for us besides you, my Allah. Our life in your hands. Our sight in your hands. Our hearing and speech in your hands. Our health in your hands. Oh, my beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. Ya Allah,
Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive the entire mankind, O my beloved Allah. Bless each and every one with hidayat. Bless each and every one with guidance. Make everyone worthy of entrance into Jannat. Oh my Allah, bless each and every one with Iman and Islam. For those who have become obstinate and they have made up their minds that they will continue with oppression and tyranny and persecution and torture of the Ummah, then my Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Send gale force winds against them. Ya Allah, cause the earth to shake beneath their feet. Cause their planes to crash and cause their ships to sink. And create division amongst their ranks. Ya Allah, unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives, the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of family members. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, our homes have become hellfire on earth. Quarrels, arguments, disputes and fights. Oh my Allah, what have we made of our lives? But you can change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, it's not difficult for you to change the condition of our hearts. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, they were from the Yahud, they were from the Nasara, they were from the Mushrikeen, they were from the Kuffar, they came from the Munafiqeen. But when they accepted Islam upon the hands of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, you changed their condition to such an extent that they became radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. You pleased with them, they pleased with you. Oh my beloved Allah, if you could have brought about such a drastic change that they pleased with you, you pleased with them, you announced it in the Quran Sharif. What is it difficult for you to change the condition of our hearts? Our hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance. Our hearts are filled with envy, with jealousy. Our hearts are filled with evil passions and desires. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma, dil badal de. Oh Allah, change the condition of our hearts. You have given man the science of transplanting of hearts. Ya Allah, transplant a healthy spiritual heart into our bodies. Change the condition of our hearts. Purify our hearts from evil. Ya Allah, purify our hearts from greed and envy and malice and jealousy. Ya Allah, give us the hearts that you give to your walis. Fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa, with the noor of iman, with the noor and light of yaqeen, with the noor of trust and tawakkul in you. Bless us with such a bond with you, my beloved Allah. Such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, our neighbors, our society, our non-Muslim and Muslim brothers and sisters. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to return to whomsoever whatever is due. Bless us with plentiful of halal rizq. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all their sicknesses. Oh my Allah, we know sometimes sicknesses and diseases can be a rahmat and a mercy. But we are extremely weak servants of yours. Don't test us with the mercy of sickness. Ya Allah, change it to the mercy of good health. Ya Allah, those who are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us, Ya Allah, whether they are suffering from stomach problems or head problems or heart problem or lung, liver and kidney problems, whatever sickness and disease they may be suffering from, Ya Allah, or rheumatism, whatever it may be, Ya Allah, bless them with complete shifa from all sicknesses and ailments. Bless us with complete shifa from spiritual ailments. Those who are in financial difficulties, open the floodgates of halal risk for them and get them out of their financial difficulties. Safeguard us from going to the banks and borrowing on interest. When our homes are on interest, our carpets on interest, our curtains on interest, our furniture on interest, even the groceries we purchase on interest, our clothing on interest, then how can our du'as be accepted? Ya Allah, give us the realization that we must distance ourselves from anything that is haram. Ya Allah, bless us with halal rizq. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Ya Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, give them wealth. Ya Allah, wherever mankind is suffering, remove their suffering. Whether it is AIDS or whether it is droughts or famine or whatever disasters have struck, Ya Allah, remove those difficulties and problems of mankind. Oh my beloved Allah, this is the night in which our taqdeer is made. Oh my Allah, this is the night in which our taqdeer is made. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you that the year that is going to follow, let it be a year of happiness for us. Let it be a year of joy for us. Let it be a year of contentment for us. Let it be a year of satisfaction for us. Let it be a year of prosperity for us. Ya Allah, remove the adversities and difficulties. Oh my beloved Allah, in the year that is coming, Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah. Ya Allah, change the condition of the ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with good health in the coming year. Ya Allah, bless us with good health in the coming year. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with plentiful of halal rizq in the coming year. Ya Allah, remove all kinds of suffering and hardship and difficulties and problems. Oh my beloved Allah, make us yours and become ours. If you are ours, then everything is ours. Make a decision for us that in the coming year we will remain yours. And we will remain Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make a decision for us that we will be distanced from nafs and shaitan. Distance us from the fire of hell. Ya Allah, take us on the road that leads to you. Take us on the road that leads to Jannah. Oh my beloved Allah. Oh my Rahim Allah. Oh my Kareem Allah. Become ours and make us yours. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi she nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Oh my Allah, if you are not ours, then nothing will be ours. Our children will not be ours. Our businesses will not give us barakat. Our homes will not be peaceful. Ya Allah, become ours and make us yours. Koi mujhse poochhe ve kya maangta hu. Ve apne khuda se khuda maangta hu. Koi mujhse poochhe ve kya maangta hu. Ve apne khuda se khuda maangta hu. Wo ho jaye mera, main ho jaau uska. Main ho jaau uska. Yehi raat din mein dua maangta hu. Ya Allah, open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your forgiveness for us. Ya Allah, man has made computer chips. Those chips can record millions of pieces of information. But one press of the delete button and everything is wiped out clean. No information is left on that chip. Ya Allah, oh my beloved Allah, when you can give man that kind of knowledge, what is it difficult for you to press the delete button over our sins? Man has made dynamite sticks, they blow up huge mountains. What is it difficult for you to blow away the mountains of our sins? Bless us all with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, make this night, oh my Allah, the best of all nights for us. Ya Allah, in the way of decisions, Ya Allah, let it be the best of all for us. Our parents who have passed away, wives, children, brothers, sisters, family members, and in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whosoever has passed away, Ya Allah, they cannot do any more good deeds. They have gone to their qabars. Ya Allah, fill their graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, escort agency, adultery, fornication. Ya Allah, what places our Muslims are dying. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram activity. We don't know when the angel of death will strike. Ya Allah, don't let us be at that time glued to some filthy movie on the television screen or watching some filthy porn site on the internet. Ya Allah, give us the realization that death can come suddenly, suddenly, suddenly. Oh my beloved Allah, ek din marna hai akhir maut hai, ek din marna hai akhir maut hai. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Unke ijtemaat gasht talim ko qubool farma. Masajid madaris khanqao ki mehnat qubool farma. Ya Allah, puri ummat mein, whosoever is doing the work of deen, in whichever department they are doing, bless us all with ikhlas in our action. Let us do it within the parameters of Sharia. And Ya Allah, accept, bless with maqbooliyat all the works. Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, take us to Madina Tayyib. Amen. The rosa of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا خير خلق الله on our lips. Ya Allah, let our souls depart. Let our janaza be in Masjid al-Nabawi. Let our burial be in Jannatul Baqi. But if it is not muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Oh my beloved Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much he begged for us. Especially in Hajjatul Wida with his 124,000 shining companions. How much he prayed for us. My beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the du'as that he made after kissing the Hajr Aswad. Ya Allah, the du'as that he made whilst walking and making the tawaf. And the du'as that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made, oh my beloved Allah, under the mizab-e rahmat. میرے پیارے نبی نے میزاب رحمت کے نیچے رو رو کے جو مانگا حجر اسود کو چوم کر کے جو مانگا مطاف میں چل کر کے جو مانگا رکن یمانی چھو کر کے جو مانگا حتیم میں نمازیں پڑھ کر جو مانگا ملتزم سے چمٹ کر کے جو مانگا the du'as that he made at the ملتزم how much he teared that is a حرام became wet with his tears the du'as that he made after drinking zamzam after the making namaz behind the Muqam Ibrahim, the du'as that he made on Safa and Marwa, and the du'as that he made in Mina, and in Arafat from Zohar till Maghrib, that masoom, sinless Nabi extends his hands and begs for us. The du'as that he made in Arafat, Muzdalifa, Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with all that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us and protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with marriage partners who will be compatible, righteous and pious and fulfilling the rights of each other. Oh my Allah, you are well aware of the desires, the aspirations, that are in the hearts of each and every one who have raised their hands this part of the night. Ya Allah, all the good wishes and desires that are in their hearts, fulfill those desires. Our students who are writing examinations, give them success in their examinations. Make them assets for our communities. Protect them from the fitnas at the schools and colleges and universities. Ya Allah, hum sabko ek bana de aur nek bana de. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب